Blog Talk Radio.
The daily go get a mission show. We do this every single day. Every day it rains. And the GG will do the same. We break it down, baby. Every day it rains. And the GG will do the same. Every day it rains. And the GG will do the same. Every day it rains and the DG will do the same. Every day it rains and the DG will do the same. I am your host, Sun752, aka Omad with the rrrr. And if you can't say Omad with the rrrr, well then you just say Omar with the R. This is the Daily Go Get a Mism Show, all up in your area. I'm feeling like a real man should, and I hope y'all feeling like real men and women should also. Tonight on the DG show, we are talking about they stole from me, but we still cool because. How could you be cool with somebody that stole something from you? Well, sometimes it depends on what you look at as stealing from somebody or being stolen from. Sometimes we look at unfairness as being robbed or being stolen from. It may not. Or I'm not even going to say unfair, but that too. But I'm going to say sometimes we look at an imbalance as being robbed or stolen from. Like, yeah, I didn't get as much as that person got or that person got. I feel like I got robbed because I put in more work. At least I feel like I put in more work than them and them and them. You know, think about. Before we really, really start getting deep into this, think about the job that you work on. For those of y'all who work, which is just about all of us, have you ever thought about how much your job makes off of you versus what they pay you? You know, in order for a job to be able to pay you, they have to have at least enough money to pay you and everybody else that you see working around you. So have you ever thought about how much money that has to be in order for them to turn a profit, in order for them to buy supplies, in order for them to pay you for the hours that you work in, sometimes even overtime, and all of the overhead, you know, the benefits package that you have and all of that kind of stuff? How much do they make from you working? Because some people out there make a really good salary. So if somebody is making, let's say, $50 an hour, $50 an hour will put you well into six figures. Well, not well into it, but it gets you there. You know, so how much is the job making when they can pay you $50 an hour? A lot of us don't think of it. We don't think about it, you know, because we may not be exposed or understand budgets and things like that. But every job that you work on operates off of a budget. This is how much we have. This is how much the contract is for. So we can afford to hire this many people at this pay rate. That's why you don't see people getting crazy raises all the time or getting turned down when they ask for raises, because it's not in the budget. Just because you make up the budget doesn't mean that you're always going to stay within the budget. Doesn't mean that at all. You may have miscalculated. Like, well, we budgeted for this and we budgeted for that, but we were over in budget because of this and we were over budget because of that. So you may wonder how some people keep their jobs even though you don't see them working and you don't understand the contribution that they put in, that they have towards a certain job. Well, they may be able to keep their job because they maintain, where they are able to maintain the budget or stay under budget. They may be able to stay under budget even though they may be stealing themselves. But when it comes to you, if you don't even ask the question, well, how much are you going to make off of me? Then you're not going to think about it. It's not going to be a big deal to you. But later on, you might come back and be like, oh, well, but you only paid me this much and you paid somebody else that much. To the company that you're talking about, they're going to say, well, this person is worth this much, or they asked for this much and they got this, that much. You didn't ask for this, so you didn't get that. We're not going to offer you more. You can get more, but we're not just going to offer you more. Carol Taylor says, all I know is it's much more than I get. I'm just saying. That's right. But sometimes it can open up your mind a little bit if you know exactly how much they're getting. If the department that you work in, like, all right, for example, I worked for Aramark before. And I remember that we had a $500,000 contract. That's how much Aramark was paying us, $500,000. I'm sorry. That's how much the client was paying Aramark, $500,000, half a million. Not even a whole million, half a mil. So you start doing the math. Everybody was getting paid this amount per hour, that amount per hour. So they had it budgeted. The first shift would get this many. This much, and this, it'll be this many people. And the second shift will have this many people on it getting paid this much, and no more than this much, because if they get paid more than this much, then we're not going to be able to, we're not going to be in good position to be able to pay this manager that much. So let's say everybody is getting paid $30,000 a year. $30,000 a year,
and you paying 15 people that much money. All right, let's see what we're working with. Get us a calculator going on. Let's see what that calculator about. Okay, calculator. 15 people times $30 an hour. Okay. I didn't do that right. Let me see. $30 an hour. Because it's 40 hours a week. Okay. All right. This is what I'll do. Because that was 30,000 a year. So 30,000 a year comes out to what? Let's call it 17. No, it's not. $16 an hour will get you about $30,000 a year. So you take $16 an hour times 40. That's $640 a week. Okay, $40 a week. Okay, so 640 times 52. That's 33,280. So I better do this. $15 an hour times 40, $600. You know that's not what you coming home with. $600 times 52 equals $31,200. Now, times 15 people times 15. $468,000. Well, they weren't getting paid $15 an hour. So, and they had a manager. So, my manager must have lied to me about the budget. He lied. Because this is already over budget. But they did cut down the workforce. It went from 15 people. Oh, you know what it was? Everybody wasn't full time. Everybody wasn't $15 an hour. And you still had to factor in what the manager got paid and supplies and stuff that we divvied up and stuff like that. So that although it seems like the contract would have been worth a lot more money. Sometimes the company is only making about, let's say, somewhere between 50 to 100 grand. And you're like, but they don't care because they don't have to do any of the work. They've already paid off the work. And if they can do that 100 times, because a big company like Aramark, they're like, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, okay. So anyway, you look at it like, all right, this is how much they're making. We don't even think about how much they're spending. But, you know, you may look at it like, yeah, well, they robbing me because they making this much money off of me and blah, 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 if you even think of it that way. All you probably care about is just like Carol was saying, this is how much I'm getting paid. And I'm concentrating on that. So let them worry about all that other stuff. I'm worried about this. What I can take home sounds reasonable to me. So, you know, you can play the victim in a lot of different ways, But if you feel, but you still may stay with that company because another company might not be paying you as much. Maybe not as much in salary, maybe not as much in benefits, whatever the case may be. They're not paying as much. So you might decide to stick with that company. Like, all right, I'm going to stay here even though I feel like I'm worth more. And you feel like they're robbing you. So that's what we're talking about. They stole from me, but we still cool. Other situations might be like, well, look, you know, my uncle stole my earrings. But I realized that he's on crack. And I still love my uncle. I still remember my uncle, you know, he took care of me. He hooked me up when I was younger. He always was there, blah, 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 blah. But once he got on that crack, once he got on the crack, everything turned around. But I haven't forgot where me and my uncle come from. So, yeah, he stole my earrings or whatever. But, you know, I still love my uncle and I still rock with him. Now I just have to put the padlock on my bedroom door. Padlock on my bedroom door. Padlock on my bedroom door. I could kick him out the crib, but really what for? We just have to take some security precautions. Yeah, because he's awesome when it comes to taking and stealing and robbing and all that kind of stuff. It's kind of rough, but I know that he has a good heart. I remember him from back in the day, the beginning, the start, and I'm not going to forget. I'm going to hold him down right now on this set. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes family members might steal something from you, borrow something from you without letting you know. Well, you like, sometimes you really look at it like, well, that's just the way the game go. When you understand the game, you know, drug dealers rob each other all the time. You know, when you, anybody that has sold drugs knows that it's a shady business. They don't play with each other straight up and down. They don't. But when they realize that they didn't get as much as they came for, they realize, you know what, that's okay, I see what he did. It's not always blood and gore and gunshots and all that kind of stuff. People don't always get made an example of. Not all the time. A lot of times they do. But it's just like when people think that when you go to jail, you see a whole lot of raping. Like, no, it's not like that. Yeah, people get raped when they go to jail, but it's not like a guaranteed thing that's going to happen to you. But only people who've never been to jail think that that's the way it is. So it's the same way as when we don't understand how certain things go. In show business, there are all types of robberies. There are all types of thefts. And it's all contractual. Let's see, some names that we can remember. TLC. Remember they were saying how LaFace Records wasn't paying them. Same thing happened with OutKast. Same thing happened with Tony Braxton. It seems like everybody who signed under LaFace Records with Pebbles, because Pebbles was the real brains behind LaFace Records. Yeah, you could talk about Babyface and you could talk about L.A. Reid. Pebbles was the one behind the scenes with the contracts getting all the money. Pebbles was never broke because she wrote them contracts up like, look, if you sign it, you sign it. If you don't, you don't. If you don't want to sign it, you can renegotiate a different deal, but this is the deal that's on the table. Them artists were hungry. They were hungry. They were starving for success, and they knew that it would come through that record company, so they signed those deals. They didn't realize until later, like, yo, I'm not making any money off of these record sales, and I'm triple platinum. Same thing with Bad Boy Records. You know how many artists, Puffy, Sean Pitty, P. Diddy, Puffy, whatever. Yeah, all of his contracts suck. All of them. But that's how the game goes. It's not my job to teach you the game. It's your job. It's your job to learn the game before you sign the contract. It's just business people being business people. Yeah, and it's a dirty game. But show business is a dirty game. That's why the notorious B.I.G. Biggie Smalls used to always say that the drug game is a lot milder than show business. It's like a show business, they just rob you for no reason. At least with drugs, it's an understood thing what's going on. Like, we're just trying to get more for less. So, this is what we're working with. Make sure y'all hit that like button, y'all. Make sure that y'all share the show. Make sure that y'all subscribe to the channel if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet. This is the Daily Go Get a Mission Show. And we're talking about they stole from me, but we still cool because you might have made more money with them than you would have made with anybody else. If TLC had went to another company, they probably wouldn't have gotten the promotion and the push that they got from being with LaFaze Records. I don't know if Biggie would have ever blown up. We may have never known about Biggie Smalls had he not gone with Puffy. Not sure if we would have ever heard of him. His music was all right. He was a good rapper, but without that Bad Boy push and that promotion and that street push, he could have just been another rapper. One hit wonder, no hit wonders. That Party and Bullshit record, it was okay. It was okay. When you listen to a Biggie tape, that ain't one of the songs you put on there, but it was his first song. So, you give some, you get some. You may not get as much as you want. But he learned the game. He learned the game, too. That's why he came out with Junior Mafia and Lil' Kim. They made him a bunch of money. Did he pay them as much as he got paid? Think about it. Think about it. Cal Chamber says, wasn't Puffy doing some of the same or at least he was accused of? Yeah. Yeah. Puffy. Okay, let me tell you something. Puffy grew up or was raised in the record industry when he was working as an A&R for Uptown Records. He really learned the game. That's why when he came out with Bad Boy Records, he knew exactly what he needed to do. Like, yeah, these cats are out for fame. They don't know nothing about this money. We can pay them a little bit of this, and then they'll think that they're rich because they're getting all of this money from their shows. They don't know that they could have gotten this much more money from selling records. They're going to be happy just to be platinum, double platinum. And guess what? They were. So they running around to like, yeah, I'm double platinum, blah, blah, blah. But you know how much money you should have from a double platinum album? Well, guess what? They didn't get that. Same thing with Tupac. Same thing. Death Row. What's his name? Suge Knight ain't pay nobody. Snoop Dogg, to this very day, said he's never gotten a royalty check from his first album, Doggy Style. Like, are you crazy? How many copies did Doggy Style sell? I know it was a ridiculous amount. Because at the time, it was the most heavily awaited album we had ever heard of. How many copies did Doggy Style by Snoop Doggy Dogg sell? Doggy Style debuted at number one on the U.S. Billboard 200, powered by spectacular first week sales of 806,000 copies in the first week. So you went platinum damn near platinum in their first week. It wound up selling 7 million copies in the United States alone and 11 million copies worldwide. He's never seen a royalty check from Doggy Style. Never. He said the only money he ever got was from doing shows. Stayed with Doggy. He stayed with Death Row Records for years. And he should have got publishing, right? Because he wrote Dr. Dre's rhyme. He wrote his rhymes. He wrote rhymes for the Dog Pound. He was awfully busy. Put in all the work. He said he didn't know about royalties and points and all of that kind of stuff until he went with Master P. And that was after his second album on Death Row. So he had to learn the game. As far as I'm concerned, there should have never been a second album for Death Row. There should have never been a second album. His album sold more than Tupac. But Tupac was like the golden boy of Death Row when he came, right? Anyway. And Tupac wasn't getting paid either. He wasn't getting paid. So with me, but we still cool, cuz. Yeah. We still cool because there's certain things in place that would make me do better here than over somewhere else. So yeah, I'm not getting my full worth, but I'm still making more than I would have made anywhere else. So I'm a rock out here. And maybe I might stop saying that I got robbed. 'Cause maybe it ain't that way. It might don't be that way. So have you ever been in a situation where you felt like you got robbed, but when you look back on it, it was like, maybe I didn't get robbed. I might not have gotten what I thought I should have gotten, but thinking back on it, maybe I didn't get robbed. That's probably not an accurate description of what happened. I may just not have gotten my just due. I may have been able to do a little better if I went over here or if I did this or if I rocked with these cats. But sometimes you never know. What they say is cheaper to keep her. How many people have been in a relationship where they don't feel like they're getting what they should be getting, whether it's love, whether it's money, or like money in a divorce settlement, whatever, you know? There are plenty of times where people leave relationships and they feel like they got robbed of their heart, robbed of their money. But along the way, when they knew that they were getting robbed, they still stayed. Because that was where they wanted to be. And that's not something that we always talk about. Our role in staying where we wanted to be way past the time that we should have been there, you know. It's not a popular move to talk about that part of the game. The part where we knew better or we knew what we were doing. Or the fact that we felt like, well, you know how it goes. We've all been in bad relationships where we had to take the good with the bad. Like, yeah, she might not, or he might not treat me all that good. But this at least I know this person, and they know me, so I know I can get what I want over here or what I need over here versus somewhere else. Maybe. Maybe, baby. Maybe, baby. Interesting. My mans. So, yeah. They stole from me, but we still cool. Sometimes it really is a direct robbery. Sometimes it's a, just a bad contract, bad situation. It don't feel like we want it to feel or like we think it should feel. Man, we can put that in so many different situations. I'll tell you one situation that we don't take into consideration a lot. Many of us give ourselves credit for having pets. Taking a stray animal into our homes, and we give ourselves all this credit. Yeah, we took the dog or the cat or the snake or the hamster or the whatever. We took them in. We fed them every day, showed them love and all of this. The thing is, we've never asked the dog, cat, animal, or whatever how they felt about being caged up, about not being able to come and go as free animals do. We never asked them how it feels not to be around in their natural habitat and be around other animals just like them. We have such things as house cats and house dogs. And we swear we giving them such a great life. But how would we feel if the roles were reversed and animals could take us into their world, keep us there away from all other humans? You think you would be looking at it like, oh my God, they were so gracious to have taken me into their home and took care of me? We don't think about that. We don't look at it that way. We're not conditioned to think that way. Rightfully so. Rightfully so. We feel like we're doing the right thing. Even me. When I open that front door, Crystal goes to that front door. She want to go out. And I'd be like, nah, you can't go out. You go out, you might get pregnant. You go out, you might get fleas. You go out, you might get killed. You think she understand that shit? No. She don't understand that. She's like, I want to go out. I see I'm in the window all day and I see other cats. I used to be around those other cats. I want to be around those other cats. I'm in here all day. Captive. All I can do is eat and sleep all day. And on top of that, when I want extra love, you want to act funny. Talking about get away from me. Or you got allergies. You sneezing. You know? So just because we feel some kind of way, it doesn't mean that the way that we're feeling is always justified. There are two sides to every story. So it makes sense to me that sometimes we would still be cool with people that stole from us. And there have been people that have straight up stole from us, like family members that were on drugs or friends that you've known for a long time. Y'all may have fallen out for a little while over the robbery, over the theft, but then y'all might have gotten cool again. Y'all might have gotten cool again, like, well, such and such ain't all that bad. I remember when I was young. I remember when, you know, back in the day, I remember when they did this for me. That was one thing that my dad, my late great father, always taught me. One thing about my pop, he never forgot anything nice or good or helpful that anybody did for him. It used to frustrate the shit out of me. I used to be like, why do you rock with certain cats? Why do you still show love? Why do you blah, blah, blah? And he wouldn't always explain it. He wouldn't always explain it. Sometimes I would have to just figure it out. And once I figured out, I was like, oh. They helped him with this, or they helped him with that, or they showed him this, or they showed him that, and he always held on to that. You know? He didn't forget where he came from. If you helped him with something or gave him something or whatever, in the back of his mind, he was like, even if what he did for you overshadowed what you did for him, he didn't look at it that way. He was like, the bottom line is you looked out. When I was in need, you looked out, and I'm going to look out for you. I realize that everybody ain't perfect. That's you, that's me, that's everybody. So I'm going to still give you a chance, a second chance, a third chance, a second chance. I didn't always get it. Sometimes I still scratch my head over like, yeah, you stole from me, but we still cool because deep down inside, I know that you're a good person. I know that you have a good heart. I know that there's love inside of you. I know that you want to do better. I know that you can do better. I know that you are better. So I'm going to hold it down for you. With your old thieving, no good, robbing ass. Our employees used to steal from us so much, we used to factor it into our budget. All right, they're going to steal these saws. They're going to steal these drills. And I'm not joking. I'm not joking. My pop used to spray all of our power tools and anything else with this red paint. He used to put this red stripe with spray paint. So we knew that nobody else would deface their tools or their equipment that way. He did. You know how many times people came back to us selling us the stuff with that red paint on it? You know how many times I've taken it from people like, no, you ain't selling this. This is mine. And they would look at me like, yo, man, you can't just say, like, no, this is mine. I can show you the rest of these things that belong to us that have this paint on here. So they would probably go back to, they would probably go back to one of our employees that sold it to them and be like, yo, you owe me some money. Well, let them deal with all of that. They stole from each other, but they might still be cool because that's how the game goes. That's how the game goes. That's how the game goes. That's what it is. That's how it goes. That's just the biz. Yes, contractual and actual, and that's how it goes down. That's factual. Let's do these birthday shout-outs. We have some birthday shout-outs to do. Some people were born on this glorious. May 17th, and they deserve to be acknowledged. So let's go about our business of acknowledging them and making them feel special because they are special, because they are special, because they are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They get number one out the box. Lynette DeShields turning 51 years old today. And go get a Brigitte Stokes, turning 55 years old today. And Bryant B. Chavis, turning 33 years old today. And Melissa Lincoln McGregor, turning 51 years old today. And my girl, going all the way back to the 1988. Yeah, 88. Omoye Kenny. And go get a Lakeitha Gregory, turning 47 years old today. She's right from up around the way at G-Town. Stand up, yeah, do your thing. It's the place where the queens meet with the kings. And also Charles, the producer, director, got it. And last but not least, my girl Tiffany Scott. Go get a Tiffany Scott. Happy birthday to you, turning 50 years old today, the big 5-0. And I've known Tiffany since the 1986 Yo, I hope that today finds you in good health, happiness, mind, body, soul, and spirit. I want to say happy birthday to all of y'all and anyone else out there who shares this birthday on this glorious, glorious, glorious May 17th, anywhere out there in the world, worldwide, internationally, and universally. All of y'all go ahead and turn up. But don't turn up too loud. Just turn up loud enough so everybody can hear you. Rock out. Rock on and do the damn, the damn, the rock out. Rock on and do the damn, rock out. Rock on and do the damn thing. You do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. You do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. Good things happen to those who wait. Great things happen to those who grind. And anything can happen to those who go for theirs. So go hard, go for yours, and remember, man, listen, it's not always about a robbery, but sometimes when you get robbed, it can make you see that it's kind of worth more to stay here. It's cheaper to keep it, so I'm going to stay here. I don't care if you keep taking from me, keep adding on, keep making sure I have enough to steal and add on to what I'm saying and what I'm doing. I'm making sure that everybody is okay, including myself and my people. And you are one. I can't believe that you took my CD. Damn, son. Yeah. I know I took a different spin on this on this show than a lot of people may have thought. But sometimes we have to see things or look at things or be presented with a different perspective than we would have normally been on the path of going on or seeing it from. It helps us to learn. It helps us to grow. And it helps us to discover ourselves. And we could be better than that. Like I said, make sure y'all hit the like button. Make sure that y'all share the show. Make sure that y'all subscribe to the channel if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet. We will be back tomorrow night for another Daily Go Get a Mism show. So y'all have a great night. Great, 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 great. Peace, Robin Ming. And Stacey White, thanks for coming on through. T. Carrie Wright tonight. All right, y'all. So, Blog Talk, let me get you out of here. Let me get you out of here. Let me get you out of here.